Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Thank you for listening to Warbird Radio. I'm Don Kennedy, proud to be a part of Warbird Radio programming with our Big Man Jump program several times each week. Tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
This is Warbird Radio Live.
Good evening, everybody. This is Zane Adams on Warbird Radio, bringing you the Wix Warbird Weekly Show here on Wednesday, June 1st, 2011. Hope everybody's doing okay tonight. We will get started tonight. Ryan's out. He's a busy guy, short week here, and I guess Cutter Aviation has got him running hard over there in Phoenix, and the heat's on, so to speak, here in the summertime, but we're doing well tonight. We've got a special guest tonight we'll talk to here in a few minutes, John Beatty from the Cold War Air Museum here in Lancaster, Texas, going to come on with us here in a few minutes and talk about some of their airplanes, and there's a little bit of news that came out on Wix, but first, I want to start out with just a little bit. The air show world has lost one of our own. Want to say a prayer and thoughts and wishes to the Franklin and the Yonkin families. Amanda Franklin did pass away this week. She was, of course, injured in an air show crash earlier this year. And down in South Texas, and I think they fought the good fight, and heart just goes out to Kyle Franklin, her husband, and everybody in those two families. They've had quite a loss, and a loss of Amanda there. She will be missed on the circuit, so just everybody have that family and have her in their prayers there. So that's enough for the sad news. I know a little bit of news. You know, it's not happy news, but apparently there was a B-25 that went down in France this week. Yesterday, they had an engine problem. B-25 registered FAZZU, serial number 4458811, known as Russell Raiders, was at the Lefort Air Show, or preparing for it, I guess. And shortly after takeoff, they had an engine fire and did the best they could. They put it down in a field. The crew of two escaped without injury. The airplane, they put the fire out. I don't know if the airplane wasn't destroyed. Of course, it is damaged, and we will wait for word to see how that goes and how the restoration get that airplane back up in the air someday, I hope. So that's a little bit of rough news. And if anybody wants to call in tonight, we can talk about that. We can talk about any other news after we get through talking to John. Studio line 478-787-4768. Give us a call, or you can Skype in on Warbird Radio this evening, and I'll be here to take your calls. So we will get to our guest here, John Beatty with the Cold War Air Museum out of Lancaster, Texas. John, you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Great to be good with evening. You. I appreciate you joining me on a little bit of short notice here tonight, but wanted to make sure I wasn't flying solo without Ryan here this evening. So I really appreciate you coming on and willing to talk with us here about what you guys have got going. I know it's kind of an unusual grouping of aircraft you've got down there in Lancaster, which is just south of on the south side of Dallas, Texas, for those in the rest of the country and the rest of the world out there listening. But tell us, John, what you guys are doing down there. What's your strategy? What's your mission? And tell us a little bit about your organization.
Well, the Cold War Air Museum is a collection of mostly ex-Soviet aircraft, although we have some American aircraft as well. And our stated mission is to restore all the aircraft that we have to flying status. We decided early on that we want to take everything and get it flying, because there's a different level of effort and different results when you shoot for getting stuff flying. So we've put quite a few aircraft online. Obviously, the lead aircraft right now are the two Hinds that we have flying. But we've got a few other aircraft, helicopters, like you said, is unusual, and we've got some MiGs, and then usual collection of L-29s, L-39s, and other assorted Cold War area aircraft.
Yeah, I know you've got at least one Hind flying. Is the other one ready to fly? Has it flown yet?
The FAA was out today, gave us a little pink piece of paper, our airworthiness certificate for the second one. And I just got a text message from our pilot. He said they took it up for a half-hour hover test, and it did pretty good. He said there's a whole new squawk list that we've got to work on, but it flew for about a half an hour, did really well. So we've got two of those online now.
Well, that's pretty exciting. I mean, there's not anybody else flying the Mi-24 in the country other than, I guess, the Army. Are they still flying theirs, or...?
The Army still does a little bit of contract work. There's a couple other Hinds that aren't really on public display. The Cold War Air Museum has now two of the only flying Hinds on public display, we think, in the Western Hemisphere.
That's a coup right there. Where did those aircraft come from? What's their history?
Those aircraft and a lot of the other aircraft that we have are all from Bulgaria. We formed a good relationship with some companies in Bulgaria and the government there early on 10 years ago, and pretty much everything that they've been interested in selling, we've taken one of or you know, put our marker down on those. So that both the Hinds, and we have four Mi-2s, two of which are certified in flying, one of which is going to be certified hopefully pretty soon, and a fourth one that's undergoing restoration. In addition to the MiG-21 that we're hoping to actually start this weekend for the first time. And then, as you mentioned, the MiG-23 is back up and running. We had it running, had a few problems with it, fixed those problems. And this last Saturday, we had it back out on the runway, at least for a high-speed taxi, ran the afterburner a little bit, and that was pretty exciting.
Well, I got to see the airplane at the open house in Lancaster, the Warbirds on Parade, I guess it is, last October, was it September, I guess, and it's quite an aircraft, and I knew you guys were having some electrical issues, some, I guess, ejection seat issues and that stuff, but I guess you've got most of that cured. I know there's always a squawk list on something that complex, but... I guess you've got the help that you needed to get it running anyway. So you guys are close to flying on that. Have you got the pink piece of paper yet on that? Or
That's going to be a little ways out. We still have to write a maintenance plan on that. The aircraft itself wants to fly. Just based on I was in the aircraft on Saturday, and my friend Vadim was in the front seat. And we rolled out on the runway and ran it up to 100%, and then he pushed it in the afterburner. All the lights came on, and the airplane said, let's go. But it's going to be a while. We still need pyro for the seats, although we've got a line on that. And then mostly it's paperwork, but there's only one other flying MiG-23 that we know of, really anywhere in the world at this point. We've got a line on plenty of parts, a lot of help on maintenance, but the paperwork part of it is a long, slow process, and we're still working through that part of it.
Now, getting the Friendly Aviators Association on board is always an interesting process. The MiG-23s, you say, are you talking about in private hands, or are they still flying in the Soviet bloc countries, or the former Soviets?
I think India still has some running. The Bulgarians got rid of the last of theirs. The one that we have was one of the last flying MiG-23s in Bulgaria. It actually went through overhaul in 98, so it's a real fresh aircraft. But very few countries are still operating that aircraft. Most of the countries that were flying it moved on to something else. Bulgaria's moved on to join NATO, and so we've got one of the last ones left.
No, I guess I wasn't aware that they're true warbirds nowadays. There's not any. I didn't realize that there were that few flying in the in the militaries around the world. So it makes it even more unique for you guys. But and I know there were some conversations on the Warbird Information Exchange forum about the runway there at Lancaster. I know they've recently lengthened it. Do y'all have any worries about operating it on that airfield?
The MiG-23 on 6,500 feet should be just fine, especially with the drag chute. Obviously, it's still not a balanced field. I don't think you can hit rotation speed and then pull it off and stop by the end of the runway. The MiG-21's a kind of a bigger concern. The runway to Lancaster, it'll eventually go to 8,000 feet, and that'll be a lot more comfortable for the MiG-21. But the 23 comes over the fence at about 145 knots. It's, you swing the wings all the way out to spread at 16 degrees. It's got leading edge slats, and it should do pretty good on 6,500 feet.
Yeah, I know that it was designed. It's designed to run off of dirt and everything else that the, like the Soviet, like most of the things that the Soviets run. And there's some technological deals. Does it have bleed air blown flaps and slats and that kind of thing to help with lift? Is that what I've read?
This one doesn't. Our MiG-21 is a UM model, so okay. it's got a little bit of assistance on that to make it a little bit more stable. But no matter what you get on a 21, it's still going to be a fast landing airplane. The UM we've been planning on really kind of waiting till we've got 8,000 feet before we run it all the time. Although
sure.
I've been told there's a bunch of MiG-21s in the country, and there are people that will claim that you can run it in and out of a 5,000-foot strip, but better pilots than me, I think.
Well, and that's guaranteeing everything goes right, too. That's the tricky
exactly.
part. That airplane's pretty slick, pretty pointy, and real fast, from what I understand. I've never seen one of those fly, but what I've heard about them, they're a handful. It doesn't have much wing out there, so it's got to get lift from speed, and that takes some runway. But so what else you guys? I noticed you've got a couple of L-39 Albatross flying, two or three of those, and
we have three of those right now. That and two of them are one production number apart. They're almost identical, and one is a year older. All three of them have identical colors because they came from Bulgaria, so it's kind of unusual to see three of them sitting out there on the ramp or flying in formation where all three of them are they look exactly the same. It's kind of fun to fly them like that.
Yeah, they've just got some different numbers on them, and that's about it. What are y'all doing with the airplanes? Are y'all doing some flight training with them? How are you earning your keep with them?
all they do is eat, pretty much.
Okay.
We occasionally do some charity stuff with them, although not very much. And mostly we fly into air shows. And obviously stuff like the Warbirds on Parade in September, they'll be out there for that. And other than that, they're not a hard keeper. The maintenance on them isn't overwhelming. And we get a chance to fly them one or two times a month, usually.
Okay. All right. Are you guys what's your air show plans for the rest of the season?
Well, we've got feelers out. With the price of fuel going up, the air shows that used to love to have us show up at $1.50 a gallon are telling us their budgets are a little tighter at $4.50 a gallon. But we're going to probably try to make Alliance and Wings over Houston and whatever else that kind of pops up. We've historically sort of stayed in Texas. The Hind, though, being the only flying Hind in the country, has gotten nibbles from all over the place, and we're just really working through the logistics of getting something that big and that complicated, which gets, we figure, about 8/10 of a mile per gallon anywhere to an air show for any amount of gas that they can give us.
Right, right. It'd be great to see it. I think it'd make a good splash at Oshkosh, but that's a long way away at that kind of fuel burn.
It's a long way to Oshkosh. We'll be up there. We've taken the L-39 to Oshkosh, a couple L-39s up there, and that's gone pretty well. We've run through the numbers, and really we'll need a good solid sponsor to go to Oshkosh.
Sure.
And show the aircraft there.
Well. And I know on the hoplite, the MI-2, what kind of range, what kind of burn does it have? Is it comparable to like a Huey or?
It's comparable. It burns, it's twin engine, about 350 horsepower each, and only burns about 60 gallons an hour. I guess only is a relative term.
Right.
The MI-24 burns, we figure, 180 in cruise, and we figure right at, if you're just going to multiply it out by, you know, your Hobbs time, 200 gallons an hour. The hoplite, though, is only about 60 gallons an hour, but it's slow. So it too gets maybe a mile per gallon for wherever we go.
Yeah,
fun aircraft to fly, though. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw it buzzing around at Lancaster last year, and it's a neat little helicopter. I've never seen one. It's not something I guess, and a lot of people see in this country. What's been the reaction to these aircraft?
A lot of people come up, and the first thing they say is, "What is this? Where did it come from? And how did it get here?" So it's real fun to take to air shows because people just haven't seen stuff like this before. And you get to, you know, the big part of the fun is all the people that come up and they share their experiences and they want to know more about the aircraft, and getting to talk to those people is really, really fun to go to air shows with it.
Yeah, I know from my point of view, you know, being, you know, growing up, I'm, you know, 45, and growing up in the, you know, with the Cold War and seeing these things, this was the evil empire's gear, you know, and I frankly never thought I'd ever see a Hind fly. You know, it was a unique experience last October or September when I saw him fly. You know, any of these things to fly in the United States just, you know, 20 years ago, I would have said no way ever, you know.
And, no way.
that's amazing.
When we first started the museum, it was, speculate anyway, that it follows this sort of development we saw with the Commemorative Air Force, where it was mostly just sort of a flying club, and we'd gotten our Cold War toys, and we were, you know, zorching around the patch with them, and at some point we kind of realized that we were stewards of something maybe a little bit bigger than just a bunch of toys, and so we formed it into the museum, and it's nice to have people come in and take a look, like you say, to look at the aircraft and say, wow, this was on the other side. These guys really were serious. There was, a lot of training and a lot of effort going into, they were looking to kill us with this aircraft at some point in time. And it's interesting to see it just sitting there, you know, in the hangar kind of benign. But to understand why it was built and what it was going to be used for is, it gives you pause to stand there and look at it.
Yeah, it is, and you know the that is I don't know, it's hard to put into words that, you know, like I said, I never thought I'd see these things, and when you see them, you know, to me it's kind of, in one way it's kind of like you know, they're kind of like war trophies. I mean, we've we're the victors pretty much, and you know, we get to play with their toys. I know, you know, they're not probably playing with Cobras in the former Soviet Union, but you know, just to see that thing, and you know, is amazing. I know the technology in these things. I was looking at the Hind, you know, the certain things about it, the way it's built is just you know, rugged, heavy. You know, that kind of stuff. Can you talk to about the technology behind it a little bit?
The Soviet Union placed a lot of emphasis on simplicity in their design. They wanted something that was rugged, that could be manufactured quickly, and was simple to build, simple to maintain, simple to operate. And you see a lot of that. Their emphasis really was on to build a lot of aircraft. They figured they were going to lose some. And that served us well as a museum, because it's not as, you know, if you had a F-16 or something like that, there's no civilian organization could, just maybe just the tiniest fraction of organizations could operate those. But the The Hind, we've got a lot of help from people who were mechanics, in Bulgaria, in Poland. We bring them in as consultants to help us, or they scavenge for parts or for manuals, or they translate stuff for us. And we are able to safely operate the aircraft, but it is right at the edge of the Hinds, the MiGs are right at the edge of what you could keep running as a sort of private organization.
I know the Hind has a big, huge cast iron gearbox sitting right on top of it.
Yes. It's ginormous.
Yeah.
The Hind has, just to realize what's going on there, it's got a pair of 2,250 shaft horsepower engines that, go into this. It's just huge. It's the size of your dinner table, the gearbox is, and it mixes all that power together and turns it 90 degrees and sends it up to the rotor system, which is all just these huge, heavy parts. And it really makes all that power comes back down in the rotor wash, and you can feel it.
Yeah, and one thing, Hind, you always see it. It was a gunship. It had, weapons stations out on the little wing, and I guess they had a gun underneath at one time or another. Some of them did, but got a crew. It's got a passenger compartment, so to speak. A little, you kind of got a squat to get in it, but it does. It can carry 8 or 10 guys, I guess.
In theory, the crew in the back was 8 troops, but they must have been pretty small guys, because you get more than about 4 people in the back there, it gets real crowded.
Yeah, I crawled in there at the open house, and I was amazed at it. But, the little things, like the little ring that a guy could stick his AK-47 out the window in the back and, help with the... help with the gunfire, things like that, just pretty cool to see. So, and what do you guys got, US-wise? I know there's a couple of things that you've got a Cobra and a Huey. What are your plans on those?
The Cobra is, the Cobra's still a bit of a mystery. We're trying to figure out exactly what we want to do with that and where we want to go with it. The Huey that we have is a B-model Huey. That has an interesting history, because the Hueys that were in Vietnam did not normally come back to the United States. But this one is it's a 64 B model Huey. It was maybe a 62, but it was in Vietnam, and it came back. It's got bullet holes that have been patched on it. Our current plan with it, it's very hard to get parts for the B model Huey, so it's kind of slow going on that. We've got a kind of a vision for it where we want to actually put it together as a Medal of Honor ship. There were several Army aviators that won the Medal of Honor in Hueys, and what we want to do is probably put the helicopter together and put all their names on it and fly it around to air shows and honor those guys. Because, like I said, the history on the helicopter is so unique that would be a real good platform to honor those guys.
Yeah. You've got individual history. History for this individual aircraft.
We have individual. We've got plenty of the guys from the squadron that it was in Vietnam have contacted us, and they said, we remember when it went back, and we tell you everything you want. They sent us patches and all this other stuff, and we're talking actively to them. The engine needs some work, and it's going to cost a little bit of money. We figure it's going to cost probably $250,000 to get that aircraft all the way just back up to running, and then really to do it right is going to take the better part of $1 million to get it going again. Which is on our budget, something that's going to take a couple of years to really finish that vision out.
Yeah, take some time. I know rotors are tricky in those, engines are what they are. And are you in touch with some of the other Huey operators around?
Yes, there's like I said, the Huey guys will all kind of come out of the woodwork and said, "Oh, you got a B model, huh?" And we're, you know, yeah, we got a B model, and they're like, kind of hard getting parts for that, isn't it? And you're like, yeah, you noticed that, did you? And so we've had some help from some of the other operators. We're looking at various caches of parts and trying to decide where we want to spend our money the most effectively to get that aircraft back up and running.
Well, it sounds like a great undertaking. I think, you know, Hueys are so iconic. I mean, I know that's why the Collings Foundation operates their E model, because it is, you know, it is the symbol of that conflict. And there's so many guys that crewed on it. I know I crewed with the Texas Air Command Museum. They had a Huey. An H mm-hmm. model that we flew to a few air shows, and I know that, you know, as in an air show, it chokes me up thinking about it, but, you know, I there was a fellow there at the air show that sat down, he walked up and he touched the helicopter, and then he sat on the deck and started crying, you know, and yeah. I'm just kind of sitting there going, okay, what's going on? And, you know, he said, the last time I was up this close to one of these things, it saved my life. And he lifted up his shirt and he had a big old scar across his chest, you know, that, you know, one of these helicopters dragged him out of the weeds in Vietnam and saved his rear end. And he was, you know, he hadn't been up close to one since, and to see it fly brought that emotion out to him. And I think, you know, that's what we in the Warbird community, you know, that's why we do this. And, you know, the Medal of Honor treatment, I think is a great idea and a great tribute.
It's very moving to have people come up to you and share their stories. And, obviously our experience is a little different, operating some of the foreign stuff, but every now and then you'll get guys that come in, especially with the MiGs, that have flown, that were U.S. pilots that, you know, flew out in the desert with Constant Peg, and they'll say, man, last time I saw one of these, you know, everything was top secret, we couldn't talk about it, we're out in the desert, and, you know, or they'll say, this MiG, you know, this MiG-23 does this and this and this, and I drag raced one of these in my, you know, in my F-4 out over the desert, and, it's just very interesting to listen to those guys share their stories.
Yeah, and that's what we're here for, and that's I applaud you guys for doing this. This is a unique collection of aircraft you've got going, and I know you guys. I wish you guys all the luck in the world, you know, and you know, you guys taking volunteers. You've got a volunteer core crew guys out there at, you know, if you need help, what are you looking for?
Absolutely. Anybody who can, wants to come out and just hang around. There's always something that needs doing. You don't need any special skills really to help us out. Most of what we wind up doing is, you know, servicing the aircraft. We show people how to do that. Keeping the hangars organized, helping out with the maintenance on the aircraft. And by that, I mean anybody who can, you know, help go find the grease gun and you know, help us work like that. Or just people that come out and want to learn about the museum and learn about the aircraft and take a turn showing the people that come out to the museum around. Really anything, as many people I want to, you know, come out and help. We can always use another person.
Yeah, and what are your hours of operation?
Typically, we're open all day Saturday and most of the day Sunday. And then if somebody wants a special tour, we get a lot of school groups that like to bring the kids out because they don't teach Cold War stuff so much anymore. So it makes a real good backdrop to bring your.
Uh-oh. John, are you there? Well, looks like we've lost John there, but such is cell technology. But anyway, I think they're open at, on the weekends, from what I understand, Saturdays and Sundays at KLNC, Lancaster Airport, South Dallas here. So on that note, I think we're going to take a quick break here and come back waiting for your calls. Call us, give us a call at 478-787-4768 here on the Wix Warbird Weekly Show.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio. Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
All right, we're back here on the Wix Warbird Weekly Show on warbirdradio.com. We're talking to John Beatty, and with the Cold War Air Museum. I guess we had a communication glitch there, and he's dropped out, but I really appreciate him coming on. If you guys are anybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if you guys come in to visit from around the country, it's well worth it to drop into Lancaster out there in South Dallas and see the Cold War Air Museum. They've got some interesting airplanes, and I look forward to seeing some of them fly, some more of that stuff fly. It's quite interesting there. But give us a call here, 478-787-4768. We're talking Warbirds tonight. I know we talked a little bit about the B-25 that crash-landed in France, and talked a little about Amanda Franklin. Again, our prayers go out to the family there. I know there's other interesting news going on. It's air show season's in full swing around the country. It's slowing down in Texas because it's getting hot. I think it was only 95 here today, but the rest around the country's getting warmed up. I know the Blue Angels have had a little bit of a tricky month. I know they had a safety stand down, and their CO stepped down, and I think they're going to be down for a few, miss a couple air shows. It's terrible for those folks that had air shows planned around the Blue Angels that they're not going to be there, but go out and support your local air shows there anyway. I know there's a lot of air shows coming up in the next couple of weeks. I think the Pilot Pirated Skies Franklin Benefit is going on this weekend in Brownsville, Texas. I believe it's still up. You might check that out. They're going to have a little show benefiting the Franklins, and the Rio Grande Wing of the CAF is putting that on, so you might look those up. I think rgvwingcaf.com is their website. They've got things going. World War II weekend in Pennsylvania is this weekend as well. I know there's going to be a bunch of Wixers there. I know the B-29 is going to be there, the Fifi, B-17 Yankee Lady, C-54, Spirit of Freedom is supposed to be there, the Dixie Wing of the CAF, P-51 Quicksilver, Mid-Atlantic Air Museum going to be in full swing. That is a fantastic air show. I know in the past years they've had, the reenactors galore, and, it's a tent city pops up, and those, all the reenactors are there. They've got some things going on the ground. It's one of those shows I'd really have loved to be at one of these days. Sponsor us here on Warbird Radio so we can take a company trip out there. Be good fun. I know there's a lot going on out there. Let's see, what else was there? Something else, another air show coming up. I know Matt's going to be out on the road coming up in the next couple of weeks. Matt, are you online with me here?
I am, Zane. I'm always here.
There you are. There you are. You're going to be flying your little warbird out somewhere.
I'm leaving
out
tomorrow morning early. And
there
Leave the house, get this at 4 a.m. tomorrow. And
you got lights on that thing?
Well, I'm leaving the house at 4
a.m. Oh, okay. There you
I'm taking off at 6.
There you go.
So I think sunup's 5:50. So maybe I'll get underway a little early and I'll get there at, take off at 5:50 on the nose. Be legal. I want to be legal, you know?
Sure. So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So where are you headed?
All over the place. Headed to Georgia tomorrow and should make it reasonable amount of time. In L2 time, it's reasonable time, you know?
Yeah. Well.
And then get there and bed down for the night and go to the Peach Treaty Cab Good Neighbor Day air show. And that's going to be a fun event. I'm really looking forward to that. So it's Saturday only there in Atlanta. And going to have some great stories coming out of that. Punchy Powell's going to be there, the Mustang legend, as a gentleman who was a retired general from the Chinese side of the fence there. And he is flew under Claire Chennault in the Flying Tigers. His name is General Chow, and he's going to be there to tell some stories and, of course, meet Punchy for the first time. He is the Punchy Powell, of course, a Silver Wings member there and the president of the local chapter, and they've never met before, so this is going to be kind of interesting. Pretty historic to see those two guys come together. And
That's quite unusual to hear that guy. I guess he's
sit down, yeah.
He's over for a visit, I guess?
Yeah, he lives in Atlanta, oddly enough.
Oh, okay.
He came in one night to the 57th and was having dinner with his family and went over to sign the wall. They have a veterans wall there that people can sign. It's more like a chimney inside the old the old bar. This place, of course, is a theme restaurant. It was built by the Talachets and is now owned by Pat Epps, who is an air show pilot, one of the guys that saved Glacier Girl, and just a great aviation fan. And the 57th looks like an old fighter squadron, squadron bar and squadron office, you might say, from over in Europe, and really a cool place. And so they have this mantelpiece inside the bar that all the vets sign. I mean, everybody's signature's on that has lived there. And they noticed this guy was signing it in Chinese, and they said, hey, tell us a story. And when he started in on that, they just couldn't believe it. So really cool stuff. So anyway, they've been able to find a flying tiger in Atlanta. Turns out he's Chinese, and he flew under Claire Chennault's care. And we're going to have him on the show, so that's going to be some fun stuff. And then I'll be at the air show.
That's great.
Saturday doing some announcing work for him. And then we're doing some other stuff. I can't even remember all this. There's a story we're covering at the Museum of Aviation, I know. And my producer down there, Joe Udemy, is really taking this and run with it. And then after that, we're going to a radio control fly-in, a Warbird radio control fly-in at Mac Hodges' place that following week. And then it's off to get this thing. This is crazy, but I'm taking a chipmunk from Atlanta. And we're going out to the Grand Tetons all the way to Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Oh, that's just terrible.
I know.
You had to put up with that kind of scenery out there.
Yeah, I know. We're going out to have some work done on it before the big Oshkosh trip, that we take. And did it last year, did the chipmunk trip last year. And I'm going to do it again this year. But the difference, I'm going to be doing it in my, I've got a chipmunk I'm going to be flying by myself. There's going to be three of us in a three-ship of chipmunks this year. And taking them all the way to Oshkosh, via Lethbridge, Canada, which is the show before that. So, going to be fun.
Oh, man, that sounds like a great trip.
Well, on the docket, I haven't said anything about this, but I think it's going to happen. But on the docket as well, when I get back from that, I'm taking the L2 to Texas.
Are you?
I think I'm going to do it.
All right.
Talked to Larry Gregory.
You're
going to
stop in our neck of the woods here?
I'm going to go south. I talked to Larry Gregory today, and I might be stopping into the Lone Star Flight Museum. And then doing some other stuff down there, but mainly south. I will not be getting up to Dallas, unfortunately.
Yeah, well.
Just Houston this time.
That's only Dallas another 4-hour ride, right?
Yeah, I know, right? Dallas on the next trip. So, but yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting down there. It's going to be some fun stuff. So kind of let the cat out of the bag on that. I'm leaving tomorrow, get back around the 22nd.
Okay. All right. Well, we look forward
to... Gone flying.
Yeah, man, that sounds like a great time.
What
man,
a trip, huh?
Look forward to updates. I guess you're gonna blog about it on the site.
I'm going to have some fun with it. This is the year of long trips in the L2. I'm doing, of course, the big one in October where we're going to go... I'm going to take the airplane all the way across the U.S., clear out to California, to Monterey, and then turn around and come back.
Following the Venfiz route, of course, or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going going the low and slow route. So
where are you going to cross the Rockies?
Probably as far south as I can, you know, take the southern route. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great fun.
I've heard the railroad tracks in El Paso are about as low as you can get. So
well, then I'll take those. I'll just take the A train and follow it. So
that's what one of the blimp drivers, I was talking to Fuji blimp or MetLife blimp or something. One of the crews there, and they were talking about traveling it out there, and that's where they go. They follow the railroad tracks through the passes there at El Paso, and he said sometimes. He said, don't tell anybody, but the ropes get real close to the tracks.
Yeah,
out there,
well, you know? you got to do what you got to do. I just got an email just about an hour ago and from a friend of mine that I'm going to be doing the trip in the Chipmunk with, and he said that he flew his up to Driggs today. And Harry's idea of flying, I don't think I'm speaking out of school by talking about this, he likes to get way, way up there.
Yeah.
13,000 feet sometimes, right on the, you know, right on the edge of the Class A, and just haul butt. So I have a feel, you know, because it just sips gas.
There?
Yeah, you know, it just sips the gas and burns very little fuel. And so I'm not going to be doing that tomorrow. I'll be lucky to get over 2,000 feet tomorrow, but, you know.
You're not taking the old bird to 13,000 feet, man?
The service ceiling, I think, is,
you got all
is
week?
12 or something. Yeah, you know, I got all week. So
gas to get that high.
Yeah, but it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So it's going to be a fun trip and... You know, but yeah, I'm sure that we'll get the chipmunks up. They have enough fuel that you can get that high.
Yeah.
And not be worried about, you know, getting back down. So we'll see. Yeah, fun. And plus, you're starting off at 8,900 feet. So, you know, there you go.
Sure.
Anyway, good stuff. Good
stuff.
Sounds
like a great trip, man.
So I'll call you when I get up tomorrow morning at 3:30, and we'll be good to go. And,
it's the summer of Matt. Huh?
I'm loving it. I just can't wait. It was so hot today, though. Good God. I flew... just a little while today before the thunderstorms hit. Did you see the new nose art, by the way, that Gary, you know, he touched up the duck.
I saw that.
I told him, I said, see what you can do about putting a B-25 in there. And, you know, the guy's just got an imagination that won't stop and really did a nice job on it. So wanted to help out and to do my part to say thanks to the Doolittle Raiders. And it already had the name, the Ruptured Duck, and I'm kind of superstitious about changing the name on something.
So, you don't want to mess with that.
Stayed the duck. So... anyway,
yeah, that's very cool. I saw that today. Gary's a talented guy.
Oh, he's great. We had a great. It's just so fun that he lives so close, and we had a great time going down. You know, his shop is amazing. If you're ever up here, if anybody's ever passing through the D.C. area, it's about 2 hours south of D.C. in Rutgersville, Virginia. You owe it to yourself to go down there. Send the kids and the family off to Mount Vernon and all that kind of stuff, and then tell them, hey, you know what? There's another president that lives further south. Let's go see. You know, Dolly Madison and President Madison's house, and let's see Thomas Jefferson's house. When you're at Jefferson's house, you'll have seen all of this, and so you'll know exactly what it's going to look like. You just slide over to Gary's place.
There you go. Hang a ride at Jefferson's house.
And go on down. So, good fun.
Yeah.
Good fun.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm glad I'm glad you're getting to fly a little in that airplane.
Well, what's nice is that I can mix the business with the pleasure. So that's the fun. That's the fun part. But you know, and anything we can do to raise awareness of the cause and why it's important to keep these airplanes up and why it's important to tell the stories that we tell here on Warbird Radio, I'm all about. And you know, hopefully there's a chance we might have some news coverage tomorrow about Peach Treaty Cab and all that kind of stuff. So you know, hey, look, that's great. Anything we can do to help tell the story. So,
have you run into some L-Bird pilots?
A few, yeah. Usually we pass each other, and you know, going somewhere, and it's like, hey, I'll see you. Well, I turn around, but you know, you won't get there in time. I'll see you the next stop over. So, there's a couple of them up here that I see on a regular basis. We've had a good time. We have had a really good time up here. So, good stuff.
I haven't talked to you about the open house at your home airport there.
Well, it rained. That was about it. You know, we had some nasty weather, and a few of us drug the airplanes out. Anyway, we had a great time though. The county stuff went off without a hitch. The it was just kind of foggy and you know what I mean. It wasn't rainy.
Yeah.
It was just foggy. So it wasn't a whole lot of flying that went on, but we had a good time. I will say this: Skydive Orange. The skydivers were supposed to jump in with the key, you know, and the big scissors to cut the ribbon and everything. So they did.
Right.
They pulled the twin otter up And the guy jumped out the back end with the big scissors and ran over it. They cut it off. We had a good time. It was a lot
of fun. I saw that picture and I was wondering because it looked cloudy and rainy and it was a skydiver.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, how'd that happen?
Pulled the airplane right up to the front and they jumped out. We had a good time. Everybody had a good time. Great fun.
That's cool. That's hoping, Orange County Airport, Virginia, right?
Yeah. I'm just hoping that John Bronner makes it up sometime. So
yeah, he ought to. I know. Come on, man. I think he's having a great time though. I think he was changing spark plugs or gapping spark plugs or something on the B-17 today out there.
He's around Chucky now more than he was when he was living there.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's good just, he's living the life, you know?
He is. You're going to be wishing for a second career, Zane. So.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens all the time.
It'll happen. It'll happen someday.
I see some guy driving a Ferrari, and I wish I had his job. Yeah,
but, what does he do? Yeah.
Yeah, see a guy driving a Mustang, a P-51, and going, wow, dang.
Oh, well.
We make our choices. We love life as it is. So, you know.
I hear you.
But, man, I'm looking forward. I wish you luck on your
Your
trip. And,
Thank you.
Break a leg or whatever you say to L-Bird pilots.
Get a tailwind.
break a duck wing.
Somebody came up with a good idea. They sent me a message on the email. They said, hey, you ought to have a raffle, and whoever guesses your lowest ground speed wins the prize. And I said, that's a really good idea. We ought to do something like that. So
there you go.
The lowest recorded ground speed. So they might win a free T-shirt or something. I don't know. We'll come up with something. So
they're cool.
Yeah,
cool.
But stay up. We'll have it all up on the website. And, of course, keep abreast. The shows will be going on. I'm taking the station with me. And it's taken up in the back seat. So all of the programming will continue as regularly scheduled. And we're going to have a good time. So should be fun.
Great. Hope you have a good time.
Thanks, Zane. It's been a fun show tonight. I'll let you get back to it. Or is that it? Is it time to cue the music?
Yeah, I think it's probably time to cue the music.
I'll cue the music.
And thanks to John Beattie for Cold War Museum coming in tonight. Thanks, Matt, for hosting us. And we will see you guys next week.
All right. Hopefully with Ryan.
Yes. Ryan has the gift of gab a little better than I do. Sometimes.
No, you did great. We just got to get that boy back on. He's working too much, you know?
I know. Poor guy. Yeah.
Oh, well. Thanks, Zane. Enjoy
thank
it.
You.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.